And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
About 10 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater, I'm your host, Carl Amari. To my right, the vivacious and very effervescent and dimpled Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hi, Carl.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
And I'm glad Simba's doing better. I know he ate your car keys yesterday, but yeah. What'd you do? You found another pair somewhere to get here today?
Most cars don't even have keys anymore, right?
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, that's something like that.
And good to see you, Lisa.
Thank you.
This
good
is
to
program
be here.
132 in the series. And we have Thanksgiving programming for you. And also our producer is Elif Garis. She is in the booth, and she's from Turkey, but she's no turkey when it comes to producing this show. All right. So
Hi.
There you go.
Hi, good evening.
Good to see you, Elif. And we have, to start things off, we're going to play Our Miss Brooks because we weren't able to play it yesterday because the Hawks preempted us for a little while.
And we're sorry. We know that a lot of people were sort of upset about that. And we'll try not to let it happen too often.
Yeah,
we understand. It was a last-minute change, and we were a little bit stuck. But
so
we are back.
Our Miss Brooks Thanksgiving show from 1950, then The Great Gildersleeve Thanksgiving show from 1951, and then Father Knows Best, starring Robert Young, Thanksgiving show from 1950. So, we're celebrating Thanksgiving coming up this Thursday. And Lisa and I will be here this Thursday at 9 p.m., till 11 p.m. with two more Thanksgiving shows on Turkey Day.
Yeah, we hope you'll listen.
Yeah,
it'll
all right.
be exciting.
So all of this great programming is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
Dum, da-dum, 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 da-dum. It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars in the upcoming spy film Kingsman: The Golden Circle, the sequel to the 2014 film Kingsman: The Secret Service.
All right, what do they win if they can figure this
out?
A
Lightkeeper Pro and a Scentkeeper for a real Christmas tree.
All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actress played Maude Lebowski in The Big Lebowski.
Look, Jeffrey, I don't want a partner. In fact, I don't want the father to be someone I have to see socially or who have any interest in raising the child himself.
All right, do you know who that actress is? 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
Look, Jeffrey, I don't want a partner. In fact, I don't want the father to be someone I have to see socially or who have any interest in raising the child himself.
And we have Dave on the line. Hi, Dave.
Oh, wait a second.
Up.
There we go. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave. How
Hello.
Are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. We're glad you got through. We're hoping you recognize that actress's voice.
Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore is right. I had the pleasure of meeting her last year, and she was very wonderful and talented at the same time. You're a winner. We're so excited to give you a Christmas package, which includes a Lightkeeper Pro, your complete tool for repairing holiday light sets, and a scent keeper for real Christmas tree scent on your artificial tree. You can visit lightkeeperpro.com. Thank you so much, and we have a whole 3-hour show for tonight. It's a big night.
Thanks, Dave.
Take care.
All right. Yesterday, I should say, Lisa and I were supposed to play an Our Miss Brooks.
Yes.
But we weren't able to do that. So I thought we'd carry it over.
Well, I thought we'd carry it over.
Right.
We'd play Our Miss Brooks instead of...
All the good ideas are
instead
yours.
Instead of the Aldrich family.
All the bad ideas are mine.
Most people prefer Our Miss Brooks.
So I think so.
We're going to go with that.
So Eve Arden stars as Connie Brooks, 10th grade English teacher at Madison High School. This is from November 19th, 1950. It's called Thanksgiving with Bernice. Here's Eve Arden, part one of Our Miss Brooks.
Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay
and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks under the direction of Al Lewis. Well, most of us have already made our plans for celebrating Thanksgiving. But our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, hadn't given it much thought up until last Friday morning when she sat down to breakfast with her landlady.
Well, it's only 6 more days till Thanksgiving, Mrs. Davis.
I can hardly believe it, Connie. A whole year has gone by since last Thanksgiving.
Isn't it awful? The years do that every year.
It seems like yesterday that I was preparing our last Thanksgiving dinner. We didn't have very much money to spend on our shopping, but we celebrated just the same.
Oh, I'll never forget that meal, Mrs. Davis. A whole roast stuffed pepper.
I feel very badly about not being able to spend Thanksgiving with you this year, Connie, but I've accepted an invitation from my sister Angela.
Oh, that's all right, Mrs. Davis.
I'd ask you to join me at her place, but she hasn't been at all well lately. So we're just having the immediate family, my brother Victor and myself. Oh, poor Angela. It seems the older she gets, the more absent-minded she gets.
Yes, you've mentioned it to me, Mrs. Davis.
Lately, she's been worse than ever. Why, sometimes she can be talking right along and suddenly, right in the middle of a sentence...
Yes? Right in the middle of a sentence?
Right in the middle of a sentence.
Right in the middle of a sentence, what?
Right in the middle of a sentence, what?
You've been seeing a little too much of Angela.
Angela?
She's your brother Victor's absent-minded sister. But don't worry about my holiday, Mrs. Davis. I'll get my pearly teeth into something on Thanksgiving Day.
How about Mr. Boynton?
Yum, yum. Oh, you mean spending the day with him? Well, he hasn't asked me as yet, but I'll toss him a hint at school today.
I'm certain that he'll invite you out, Connie, and then you can be sure of your turkey and all the trimmings.
I don't know about the turkey, but if Mr. Boynton and I eat out, I'm a cinch to take my usual trimming.
Does Mr. Boynton always insist on going Dutch, Connie?
I wouldn't say that, Mrs. Davis. It's just a coincidence that I'm buying him a pair of wooden shoes for Christmas. Oh, but why worry about it now? As Madison's star athlete Stretch Snodgrass told me in English class the other day, live good in the present, the future never done nothing to nobody. Stretch is a nice kid, though. He seemed genuinely concerned about my spending Thanksgiving alone. He told me he would have asked me to his home, but his folks are going out of town for the weekend with the Dentons. Oh, that must be Walter now. He's driving me down to school. Coming, Walter!
I'll clear off the table and get started on the dishes, Connie. Say hello to Walter for me.
All right, Mrs. Davis. Come on in, Walter.
I step over this threshold with fear and trepidation.
What do you mean?
I am the editor-in-chief of the Madison Monitor. True?
True.
Well, I made the mistake of letting Stretch Snodgrass set up some of the type yesterday, and he sneaked an item into the personal column that cannot but be a source of great mortification to someone very near and dear to both our hearts.
Who?
You.
Me?
None other. I brought a copy with me. Look at this paragraph, Miss Brooks.
Let's see it. To who it may concern. That's Stretch, all right. It says, it is pitiful to be alone on Thanksgiving Day. If there is one way how people should show their real Thanksgivingness, it is by sharing their dinner with some poor, unfortunate fellow human person who is alone. Without mentioning any names. Oh, well, that's a relief.
Keep reading.
Without mentioning any names, if somebody wants to share his or her meal with this lonely human person, all you have to do is walk up and say, you can have Thanksgiving dinner with me, Miss Brooks.
Well, Miss Brooks, isn't that awful? Are you going to punish Stretch?
I'm not making any snap judgments, Walter. First, let's see if this ad brings any results.
Excuse me, Miss Brooks, but I'd like to talk to you before you go into your classroom.
I think that might be arranged, Mr. Boynton.
I just read this rather peculiar notice in the school paper, and I wondered...
Oh, that's a little prank that Stretch played on me, Mr. Boynton. Just pay a lot of attention to it.
When I read it, Miss Brooks, I made up my mind I'd be the first one to talk to you about it.
Really? How nice, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, it isn't easy to be alone on Thanksgiving, on a holiday.
No, you're so right.
Many's the Thanksgiving dinner I've eaten alone. But when I saw that notice in the paper, I said to myself, by George Philip Boynton...
I didn't know your name was George Philip Boynton.
It is, and that's just an expression I use. As I was saying, I said to myself, this is one Thanksgiving you don't have to eat alone. Now, what I want to ask you isn't easy for me, Miss Brooks.
Maybe I can help. I promise not to order anything over $1.50. Please continue.
Since I saw that paragraph in the monitor, I wondered if... Well, if...
I'll make it $1 even, and I'll leave the tip. Please, Mr. Boynton, just ask me what you want to.
All right, I will.
Good.
Miss Brooks, if that notice brings you more than one invitation to dinner, could I make use of the extra one?
See me, Mr. Conklin?
Yes, Miss Brooks. Sit down, won't you, please? Take this leather chair by my desk. That's it. Are you nice and comfy?
Yes, sir. I'm fine, but how are you?
Splendid, thanks. This is the time of year when we should all be imbued with the true Thanksgiving spirit. That's why I've summoned you to my office, Miss Brooks, to tell you that in spite of the inconveniences you have wreaked upon me, I harbor no ill will.
Well, that's very nice to hear, Mr. Conklin. I have been a source of annoyance to you on occasion, I suppose, but I didn't...
I am thankful for everything that's happened to me in the past year. Take the time you dropped that typewriter on my toe. I just give thanks that it didn't land higher and fracture my whole foot.
That was careful of me, wasn't it?
Then when I think back to the time you stepped on my eyeglasses and crushed them... I give thanks that they weren't on my nose at the time. But my main purpose in calling you here is to inform you that I have read the notice in this morning's monitor.
Oh, that's just a joke, Mr. Conklin. It was written by one of the pupils in my English class.
Yes, I could tell from its construction. However, I want you to know, Miss Brooks, that I was quite touched by that item. The more so since I, too, will be all alone this Thanksgiving.
But what about your daughter and Mrs. Conklin?
They're spending the day with Harriet's grandmother, my wife's dear mother. We asked her to join us for the holiday, but she lives almost 100 miles away, and she thinks she's got high blood pressure or something. So nothing would do but that Harriet and Martha visit her. Bless her crotchety old heart.
But why aren't you going along?
What? Me make a trip like that with my blood pressure? The doctor has absolutely forbidden it. In any event, when I read that notice, Miss Brooks, a thought occurred to me which might make Thanksgiving more enjoyable for both of us.
Both of us?
Yes, yes. Since we're both going to be alone, I'd like to ask you... that is, I wonder if you'd... what I have to say isn't easy for me, Miss Brooks.
Maybe I can help. I promise not to order anything over $1.50.
Loneliness can do more to undermine a person's morale than almost anything. And, well, if you'd... that is, if possible...
I'll make it $1 and I'll leave the tip.
Oh, please don't misunderstand, Miss Brooks. What I want to ask you is... Well, if that notice brings you more than one invitation, could I make use of the extra one?
Why should you be an exception? Oh, of course, Mr. Conklin. Now, if you'll excuse me, sir, I've got to get to my classroom.
Very well, you may go. Be sure and keep me apprised of all results, Miss Brooks.
Yes, sir. I'm sure we'll be pelted with turkey dinners. Spirit of Thanksgiving. Are you comfy, Miss Brooks? Take this chair, Miss Brooks. Of all the...
Hi, Miss Brooks. I see that you just came out of Daddy's office. Is he very disgruntled this morning?
No, Harriet. He's not grumbling any louder than usual. He does seem a bit put out at having to eat Thanksgiving dinner alone.
Oh, but he's not going to. Grandmother's coming down to our place after all. We're going to surprise Daddy.
Oh, that should do it.
He's so sentimental about holidays. Now he'll be able to do his Thanksgiving carving just like always. It'll be loads of fun. I've already invited Walter Denton over.
Good. I can't think of anyone your father would rather carve.
I know he's not crazy about Walter, but during the holiday season, Daddy's always a little more mellow. I'm going to do some of the shopping today. Mother gave me $5 for a turkey.
That doesn't seem like much, Harriet. How big a turkey are you planning on getting?
Oh, just a nice 8-pounder.
But will that be enough to go around? Mr. Boynton's a pretty big eater, you know.
Mr. Boynton? But he'll be eating with you, won't he?
He certainly will. And at what better place could he join me for Thanksgiving dinner than in the warm confines of your cozy dining room?
Well, I would like to invite you both, Miss Brooks, but I've only got this $5. That's all Mother said to spend.
Tell you what, Harriet, give me the $5, and I'll see that we get a big enough turkey for all of us.
Well, if you really want to come, Miss Brooks, I'd certainly like to have you, and I'm sure Mother would, too. But there have been times when you and Daddy...
Don't you see, Harriet, if Walter's coming, you'll be doing your Daddy a good turn by inviting me.
Why, how do you mean, Miss Brooks?
With both of us there, we'll be an antidote for each other.
That is the first portion of Our Miss Brooks, a broadcast going back to November 19th, 1950, a Thanksgiving program starring Eve Arden. Let's take a quick break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Oh, yeah. This is my era right here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, I remember these days. What happened?
I don't know.
What happened to me?
What happened to us?
I used to have an afro. Did you know that?
An afro?
I did. You've seen some pictures of me when I was younger. I had really thick hair.
My hair
was like big. I had a big head of hair.
Your hair was big?
Yeah, huge head of hair.
When he wasn't using it, he kept it on the dresser in his bedroom.
That's right, absolutely.
What color was your hair?
Dark brown.
Wasn't gray?
No.
Thought maybe it was
pretty
just born
gray
that
now.
Way.
And, yeah, I had my platform shoes. And
I know.
I was ready to rock back then, let me tell you.
So
or ready
happened?
To disco. That was great. That was fun, going to the discotheque.
I know.
And, you know, looking across the dance floor and picking out the girl that I was going to go over there and ask to dance and be turned down from.
I thought you were going to say turned on.
Turned down from. I would go over there and I'd be like, and I'd know the answer, you know, and I'd be like,
well,
hey,
want to
dance?
Prophecy.
And once in a while they'd say yes, and I'd be already turned around walking away, and I'd be like, wait, I think she said yes.
You sound like Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
Doesn't he kind of like poor Charlie Brown?
Ay. Well, I'm excited about this new website, Lisa Wolf. And I know Roger signed up for it yesterday.
Yes, I did.
Roger.
So
yeah.
Roger is going to get an email.
He's a good sport.
He's going to get Roger, you're going to get 52 emails a year from me.
It's a lot of Carl.
Oh, man. Can I delete it now?
It's a lot of Carl
but
time.
But it's only one a week.
I know.
So this is for all of our listeners.
When I see his name, I usually just hit delete. You don't have to open it, Roger.
Yeah, but you wouldn't want to delete this email.
Not that email.
Because,
just the others.
Oh, it's got great stuff in it.
It's going to have a classic radio show in it. So, folks, here's the deal. We have a new website. It's at freeradioclassics.com. When you go there, just put your name and your email address, and then you're subscribed. There's nothing else to do. And every single Monday, you're going to get an email from me with a different classic radio show link in that email. You can click it and download it to your computer or Bluetooth it to your car or your cell phone or your iPad or whatever. But you'll be able to listen to a classic radio show every single week and collect it. And also, there's pictures of the star. There's a synopsis, the original broadcast date, so information on the show that you're listening to. Nothing to buy. It's absolutely free. You get 52 classic radio shows from me every single year for being a listener of the show. Just go to freeradioclassics.com and subscribe. You can do it tonight, and then you'll get an email from me tomorrow, right?
It's a quick deal.
All right. And I also have some Christmas shows coming to people during Christmas, and I'll make sure, like, around the holidays, they get holiday shows, Halloween, and all that good stuff, all right? freeradioclassics.com. All right, let's get back to Our Miss Brooks. from November 19th, 1950, Thanksgiving with Bernice. Here's Eve Arden as our Miss Brooks.
Well, when lunch period arrived, as luck and I would have it, Mr. Boynton brought his tray right to my table in the cafeteria. In spite of the fact that he had a nice lunch before him, he didn't begin eating, but sat with his fork poised and stared into my eyes with a deep and absorbing emotion. It was a terribly romantic moment as Mr. Boynton leaned across the table and in a voice choked with passion said,
"Get any extra invites to Thanksgiving dinner?"
"No, and get your fork out of my cottage cheese."
"Sorry. I was just wondering about that notice in the monitor."
"Well, you can forget about the notice, Mr. Boynton. I've wangled us both an invitation to join the Conklins for the holiday."
"Oh, say, that's wonderful. Mrs. Conklin's a fine cook."
"There's only one catch. We've got exactly $5 with which to buy a turkey that'll feed 6 people."
"Well, how in the world are we going to do that, Miss Brooks?"
"You and I can chip in another $5 between us."
"There must be some other way."
"Well, there isn't. Not unless I put up the entire amount, and I can't unless I pawn my earrings again."
"Oh, but Miss Brooks..."
"I wouldn't care if I hadn't had my ears pierced. You have no idea how drafty my lobes get in November."
"Wait, Miss Brooks. You won't have to pawn anything. There is a way we can get a good-sized young turkey very reasonably."
"How?"
"By merely eliminating the butcher."
"What do we do, buy the turkey from his parents?"
"Don't you see, Miss Brooks, we have to go after a live turkey. Well, they're much cheaper than in the stores. Why, we can probably pick one up for even less than $5.
"Well, there's nothing to it. Of course not. All we have to do is find a young turkey who hasn't learned the value of money."
"Once we get a good one, we can kill it ourselves, pluck the feathers, clean it, and dress it."
"There must be some other way."
"Believe me, this will work, Miss Brooks. I know a place about 20 miles from here. A fellow named Tobin has a turkey farm. We'll drive out after school and see what he's got."
"Say, it might be fun at that. A nice drive in the country."
"Well, sure. The fresh air will be good for all of us."
"All of us?"
"You, me, and my pet frog, McDougal." "Well, he hasn't been at all well lately, Miss Brooks."
"What's the trouble?"
"He can't seem to sleep."
"Maybe he reads too late." "I mean, where's he been sleeping?"
"Oh, his usual place, on a newspaper in his cage."
"Well, there's your answer. How can anybody sleep with the news that's in the paper nowadays?"
"Well, old Tobin certainly gave us a nice gobbler for $5.
"Yes, he did, but I still can't get too enthusiastic about having to execute it ourselves."
"Oh, you just feel that way because she's a hen turkey. Tobin seemed quite attached to her, too. What was it he called her again?"
"Bernice." "Oh, isn't that cute? She knows her name."
"Oh, that's nothing. Mac knows his name, too."
"Your frog?"
"Of course. His cage is right beside you on the seat. Just pick it up and call to him."
"Oh, that's ridiculous, Mr. Boynton. I'm not going to start any conversations with McDougal."
"Did I tell you?"
"Well, if you don't mind, I'm putting him in the back with Bernice." "There you go, Mac. You can keep each other company back there."
"Oh, poor Mac. He's been so apathetic from lack of sleep, he probably won't even notice Bernice."
"From the saying, like father, like frog." "Bernice is very interested in Mac." "Oh, isn't that cute? She's got her head right next to his cage."
"What in the world is Mac doing?"
"You have just heard the frog's version of a wolf whistle."
"That's one for the book. Mac is definitely smitten by that hen turkey." Say, what's going on in the back seat now, Miss Brooks?"
"Something that should be going on in the front seat." "That is, they're getting better acquainted. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he's asking her out to a dance."
"Well, that'd be quite a sight." "Oh, actually, Bernice is much too tall for Mac."
She's a natural for a barn dance. Do-si-do, now I ain't bluffing. Dance too hard and you'll lose your stuffing. Oh, calm down, Bernice. I was just kidding.
Now that we've got her, Miss Brooks, where are we supposed to take the turkey?
To the Conklin's backyard. Mr. and Mrs. Conklin are attending a tea party, so it won't spoil Mr. Conklin's surprise.
Will Harriet be there to give us a hand?
Uh-huh, and so will Walter. He's bringing his AXE. Well, how do you like that? She can spell, too.
Careful with his crate, Walter. There's a slat loose on the side.
Yeah, I got it, Mr. Boynton. Now let's set it down in the driveway.
Oh, what a wonderful turkey.
Sorry, Mac. You'll have to wait in the car.
Oh, she's a beauty, all right. Absolutely inspiring. Oh, what a perfect combination. The lovely, graceful neck of a turkey and my trusty Boy Scout hatchet.
What a charming thought. You've been seeing too many kid shows on television. But if it has to be done, the quicker the better.
Right, you are, Miss Brooks. Want a blindfold turkey?
No, but I do.
Look out, she's getting away.
Grab her wings, Walter. She's heading for the house.
Oh, I missed her. Oh, Miss Brooks, do something.
Don't look at me. I'm on her side.
She's going through the dining room window.
Now, what made her do that?
Maybe she wants to try on one of the platters for size.
To get her out of there before Daddy comes home. We want this to be a surprise. Come on in the side door.
Where could she have gone?
She doesn't seem to be in the dining room anymore.
Maybe she went into Daddy's study.
You look in there, Harriet. And Walter, you try the kitchen.
But where are you gonna look?
I'll take the closet with Mr. Boynton. You kids go ahead.
But Miss Brooks, you don't think the turkey really went into the closet, do you?
Who knows? It shouldn't take us more than 20 minutes to find out.
I think the turkey's definitely in this study somewhere. Take a look behind the couch, Walter.
Okay, Harriet. I'll sneak up on the little beauty with the stealth of a barefoot pilgrim.
That might be Daddy. He always forgets his key. Walter, you stay put behind that couch. Miss Brooks, Mr. Boynton, follow me.
Where are you going to hide us?
In this clothes closet right across the hall. Quick, Miss Brooks, get in.
Okay.
Be right there. Hello, Daddy.
Forgot my key again, Harriet.
Where's Mother?
She's doing some shopping for tonight.
For dinner?
Oh, don't mention that word. I ate so much at that confounded tea party that I can hardly breathe. I'm going into my study and lie down on the couch for a while.
Oh, but you can't. I mean, well, you know what nightmares you get when you go to sleep after eating. Remember the time you thought there were bats in your bedroom?
That was after I saw Lost Weekend. Now, don't fuss around me, child. I can hardly keep my eyes open.
But, Daddy, wouldn't the bedroom be more comfortable?
I'd never make it up the stairs, Harriet. Just call me in an hour or so, please.
Oh, dear. Miss Brooks, Mr. Boynton, come out of the closet.
Go away.
Did I hear your father say he was going to take a nap in the study, Harriet?
That's right, Mr. Boynton. And I'm almost positive the turkey's in there.
Well, we can't be sure. I'm going to look around the back of the house.
Okay, Mr. Boynton. Miss Brooks, let's tiptoe up to the study door and listen. He's asleep already, thank goodness.
Well, let's open the door then. Take another peek.
Look, Miss Brooks. The turkey just came out of that closet. She's walking toward the couch.
Now he's starting to wake up.
Daddy's looking at the turkey.
Now the turkey's looking at Daddy. I wonder which one will scream first.
What's that? Oh, it's a nightmare. Oh, I should never have tried to sleep after all that food. Look, turkey. Nice turkey. I know you're not there, but please go away.
You stay here, Harriet. I've got an idea. Mr. Conklin. Hello, Mr. Conklin.
What? What? Miss Brooks, is that you? Are you really here?
What's the difference, as long as it's a nightmare? I heard you moaning in your sleep, sir, and I thought maybe...
Never mind what you thought. Get this turkey out of my study.
What turkey?
turkey?
What was that?
Maybe your dream turkey has an allergy.
The turkey just walked out the door. That sneeze came from behind the couch.
It's just me, Mr. Conklin. Me and my trusty hatchet.
Oh, God! Dream or no dream, boy, there's no reason to go berserk. We've had our differences, surely. But deep down in my heart, I've always had a warm spot for you.
Hysterical? Why don't you lie down and close your eyes?
How can I close my eyes with Walter standing over me with a hatchet?
Walter? Walter who?
I don't call my doctor when I wake up, I'll never go to sleep again. Oh, well, I might as well relax.
That's the idea, Mr. Conklin. Take a nice, long snooze.
Miss Brooks, Bernice just ran out in the backyard and... I beg your pardon, Mr. Conklin. I didn't mean to disturb you.
Oh, that's all right, Boynton. You'll disappear in a few minutes.
Disappear?
Mr. Conklin's been dreaming, and let's keep it that way.
It's all right, Miss Brooks. The turkey ran right into our garage, and I closed the door.
What's going on here?
We just wanted to surprise you, sir.
May I say, you have?
Don't be angry, Daddy. Miss Brooks saved us a lot of money by getting a live turkey. I only gave her $5.
$5?
Yes, sir. You see, you're not going to be alone after all. That was the surprise Harriet planned. Not only is your mother-in-law coming down for Thanksgiving, but we're all joining you, too.
Now, I have a dispatch for you. After the tea, I saw my doctor, and he put me on a strict vegetarian diet. Harriet and her mother are going to spend the holidays with Granny as planned. As for you, Miss Brooks, kindly hand over the $5 my daughter gave you.
But we paid that for the turkey.
You can have the turkey. All I want is my money.
But we can't get a refund now. The used turkey market is shot to pieces. What will Mr. Boynton and I do with an entire turkey?
That, Miss Brooks, is your concern. For once, I might add, the joke is on you.
Well, I've celebrated some Thanksgivings in my time, but this is the biggest bird I ever received. Little children in one classroom. That's the kind of critical situation your community faces, unless it can recruit new elementary school teachers immediately. Our increased school population also needs urgently more buildings, more textbooks, more supplies than ever. Better schools make better communities. So for improved educational facilities, join and work with your local civic groups and school boards. For further information, write to the National Citizens Commission for the Public Schools, 2 West 45th Street, New York 19, New York. Good night.
Burns Smith, reminding you to tune in next week to another Our Miss Brooks show, brought to you by Lustre Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair, and Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay. Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is produced by Larry Burns, written by Al Lewis, with the music of Wilbur Hatch. Mr. Boynton is played by Jeff Chandler, Mr. Conklin by Gail Gordon. Others in tonight's cast were Jane Morgan, Dick Crenna, and Gloria McMillan. Doctors prove Palmolive soap can bring you a lovelier complexion in 14 days. Yes, 36 leading skin specialists proved in tests on 1,285 different women that Palmolive soap facials using nothing but Palmolive brought new complexion beauty to 2 women out of 3. Just wash your face 3 times daily with Palmolive soap, each time for 60 seconds, massaging Palmolive's beauty lather onto your skin. Then rinse and pat dry. So start your Palmolive facials today. Remember, doctors prove Palmolive soap can bring you a lovelier complexion in 14 days. If you like mysteries that are as full of chuckles as chills, be sure to hear Mr. and Mrs. North every Tuesday over this same network.
Don't miss the exciting and laughable adventures of these amateur detectives. Hear Mr. and Mrs. North every Tuesday night. And be with us again next week at this same time for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks. Bob Lamond speaking. Stay tuned now for Jack Benny. CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting.
That's Our Miss Brooks. Great episode from November 19th, 1950. Thanksgiving program starring Eve Arden. Also in the cast, Jane Morgan, Dick Crenna. Of course, we know him as Richard Crenna. He was on The Real McCoys, and he was Colonel Troutman in the Rambo movies. He was Sylvester Stallone's colonel boss in those movies. Remember, I had the great pleasure of interviewing him once. I'll play that interview. We recorded it. Gloria McMillan. Gail Gordon, who was Lucille Ball's foil for many, many years on that. Hope you enjoyed Our Miss Brooks. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Let's disco, Lisa.
Let's do it, Carl.
But we should have a. We should see if we can get another show on this station all about disco.
That's a great idea.
Play disco
sure
music and talk about
us.
Our disco days.
On the talk radio station.
You used to go to discotheques too, right?
I sure did. Now, I did not wear platform shoes.
Did you ever go to Stay Out Discotheque? Because that's where I used to go.
No.
It was called Stay Out.
I never heard of that one.
You've asked her this question so many
times.
I
know. It's like deja vu, right?
I've asked her if she ever went to Stay Out.
Yes, because we met at
we did? That's all, folks.
The one in Deerfield. The Snuggery.
We met there?
Well, we may have met there,
no,
we were saying.
I never met you there.
No, but we said we may have crossed paths.
Oh, okay.
Not literally.
That's different. Yeah. Maybe we went to Great Gildersleeve's house, because that's who we're playing in
we
this
may
hour.
Have.
Maybe we went to Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve's house, because he's inviting guests for Thanksgiving on this episode.
I would love
maybe
to
Maybe we're part of the guests.
Maybe.
1951.
You were
12.
You could have been there.
Back in 1951. All right. So in this hour, it's The Great Gildersleeve. And then in our next hour, Father Knows Best. All of this brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
Meow.
Meow. This actor stars in the upcoming crime comedy Baby Driver, about a getaway driver who finds himself taking part in a heist doomed to fail.
All right. That's...
Not Baby Mama, Baby Driver. I know you're getting excited there. And if you get the correct answer, you will get a Christmas package, which includes a Lightkeeper Pro and a Scent Keeper.
All right.
I have a hint.
Yes.
I would date him.
I would date him.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Yeah, this guy does pretty well with the ladies, I'm sure. If you know who this is, well, we're going to play a clip. He played Don Draper.
Teddy told me the most important idea in advertising is new. Creates an itch. You simply put your product in there as a kind of Calamine lotion.
Yeah.
Even his voice is attractive, don't you think, Ella?
Oh, thank you. Oh, you mean the guy or
No,
or mine?
We were talking about you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. If you know who that actor is, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
This is the WGN Radio Theater, and this is our show 132. Is that right? Yeah, 132. We're playing Celebrity Scoop, and we're going to play it one more time.
Teddy told me the most important idea in advertising is new. Creates an itch. You simply put your product in there as a kind of Calamine lotion.
Carl, do you have an itch?
Yeah.
Carl's itchy.
Yeah, very itchy.
He's itching for something. We have Kathy on the line from Lake Forest. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Great, how are you?
Great show. Really love listening to the radio dramas.
Thank you. Are you at home?
Thanks, Kathy.
Yeah, and that would be John Hamm.
John Hamm is absolutely right, and we hope that you will appreciate our Christmas package. It includes a Lightkeeper Pro, which is the complete tool for repairing holiday light sets, and a Scent Keeper for real Christmas tree scent on your artificial tree. You can check it out at lightkeeperpro.com. Thank you so much for calling. We hope you'll listen all the way to the end.
Hey, Kathy.
Thank you.
That John, he's a real ham.
Yeah, well, he got someone to laugh, so that was good.
You've been waiting 5 minutes to say that. I love it.
Wait a minute. He's been waiting for weeks.
It's good talking to you, Kathy. Happy Thanksgiving and happy happy show.
Just happy.
And Merry Christmas.
Just happy all around.
Okay. All right. So we have.
Thank you.
We have a great Gildersleeve episode in this hour, and it's a terrific show from November 21st, 1951. Gildersleeve is inviting guests for Thanksgiving. Now, this does not star Hal Perry as Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. He left the series in 1950, and a new actor took over the role. His name was Willard Waterman, and you'll hear Willard Waterman here as the Great Gildersleeve. Now, part one of a Thanksgiving program on the Great Gildersleeve.
The Kraft Foods Company presents Willard Waterman as the Great Gildersleeve. Great Gildersleeve is brought to you, partially transcribed, by the Kraft Foods Company. Kraft, you know, makes Philadelphia brand cream cheese. The cream cheese that's been famous for quality since 1880. Delicious, creamy white Philadelphia brand is so popular, it outsells all other brands of cream cheese combined. Enjoy it often. Just be sure you get genuine Philadelphia brand when you buy. Look for the red Kraft K on the silvery package. Remember, there's only one Philadelphia brand cream cheese, and it's made by Kraft and guaranteed fresh. Well, it's the evening before Thanksgiving, and Summerfield, like many other places, is blanketed with snow. The Great Gildersleeve walked home through it as part of his training for his bout with old Tom Turkey tomorrow. And we might add that the water commissioner is in the pink of condition.
Hello, everybody. I'm home.
Oh, hello,
Anki. Well, Marjorie. Say, that's a tantalizing aroma coming from the kitchen.
Uh-huh. Bertie's cooking the turkey for tomorrow.
Good. I think I'll go back and take a look at it.
Now, Anki, don't start sampling it tonight.
No, I won't. That turkey isn't going to get the best of me this time. In fact, I plan to eat light meat. Hello, Bertie.
Evening, Miss Gildersleeve.
Hi, Unc.
Leroy, what are you doing over there by the oven?
Me? Leroy's watching the turkey, and I'm watching Leroy.
It's a good idea.
Unky's here now, Bertie. You better double the watch.
Yes, ma'am. Everybody stand back now. Bertie's going to baste it.
Uncle, we got a 24-pound turkey.
Say, isn't he a whopper?
24 pounds and five of us to eat it. Oh, boy, that's nearly 5 pounds apiece.
Bronco and I may not be here for dinner, Unky. He's trying to get tickets for the football game tomorrow in Center City.
Oh, that's too bad. We'll miss you, my dear.
Well, you know how Bronco is about a football game.
Yeah, but with such a big dinner, we ought to invite somebody to share it with us. Leroy, there's a pretty little girl staying at Mr. Bullard's.
You mean invite Babs?
Yeah, why not?
Yes, why not? The pretty little girl has a pretty mother, Unky.
Well, naturally, if we invite Babs, we should invite her mother. Yeah. Come along, Leroy. Let's slip on our overshoes.
Gee, it's keen having snow on Thanksgiving, Unc.
Yeah, makes things pretty cozy. Right, George, I'm glad I thought about asking Paula and Babs over.
What if Mr. Bullard won't let them come?
No, Leroy, Mr. Bullard doesn't boss everything. It's none of his business if his sister wants to spend Thanksgiving with friends.
Since when has Mr. Bullard considered you a friend?
My boy, it's Thanksgiving. It's the time when we should all be friends.
Okay. While you ring your friend's doorbell, I'll cover you with a snowball from behind this tree.
Careful, Leroy.
You sure make a good target against that porch light, Unc.
No, Leroy.
Turn sideways and I'll knock the ashes off your cigar.
Leroy, watch it. Oop, here it comes. Yover. Bullard's window.
Run for it, Unc!
Leroy, you shouldn't run.
What's going on out there?
Guess I'd better run.
What are you kids... Oh, it's you, Gildersleeve. A big, fat kid.
Hello,
Mr. Bullard.
Gildersleeve, did you break my window?
No, but I'll gladly pay for it. Leroy was aiming at me and missed, but I'll pay for it.
If he'll aim again at you and hit, I'll pay for it.
Now, Mr. Bullard, I'm sorry it happened. It was an accident.
Fortunately, it's just a pane out of the storm window. Gildersleeve, why did you come over in the first place?
Well, I came over to see if I couldn't take your sister and little Babs off your hands for Thanksgiving.
They're spending the holiday out of town.
They are? Yeah, I didn't know Paula was planning a trip.
Should you have been consulted?
Well, no, not necessarily. But she might have said goodbye. Well,
now that you mention it, she did leave a message for you.
You? What was it?
She said goodbye. So, goodbye.
You wait a minute. Mr. Bullard.
If you don't mind, I'll talk to you through the peephole. It's cold out there.
Well, about the broken window. You shouldn't pay for the pain.
Gildersleeve, I've been paying for a pain ever since you moved across the street.
Even on Thanksgiving, he's a hard man to like.
Unc, you mean I really don't have to pay for breaking his window?
No, Leroy.
You could take it out of my allowance. Say, a nickel a week? Every other week?
No, I'll take care of it, my boy.
Thanks, Unc, you're swell. I'm going up now and take my bath without even being sent.
Good boy. Yeah, I shouldn't have gone over to Bullard's anyway. He'll never set foot on his porch again. Yeah, guess I will have to go over and pay him. Someday. Yeah, I'll put the money on a stick and poke it through the peephole so he can't bite my hand.
Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yes, Bertie.
Will Mr. Bullard's sister and little Babs be here for dinner tomorrow?
No, they're out of town, Bertie. Unless Mr. Bullard has them locked up in the attic.
Yes, sir. You fooling, ain't you?
Yes, I guess so.
Bertie already put their names in the pot. Too bad they can't be here. If Miss Marjorie and Mr. Bronco go to that football game, we're going to have more dinner than we know what to do with.
Well, Leroy and I will do our best by it.
Oh, I'm counting on you and Leroy to eat double. But we're loaded. Of course, a lot of people ain't going to have a big Thanksgiving.
Well, true, Bertie.
A lot of people's just going to squeak by.
We're pretty lucky, Bertie.
Yes, sir. I've been thinking about that while I was basting that big turkey, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yes, Bertie?
You remember the little boy that wandered in here from the children's home last Halloween?
Oh, Mike Smith.
That's right. The little lost ghost.
Cute kid. Say, I wonder what kind of Thanksgiving dinner he's going to have.
Oh, he'll have a good dinner, but he may not have as much as we've got.
Bertie, after church in the morning, why don't I drive over and pick up little Mike?
Yes, sir. Now we're lining up a real Thanksgiving.
Yeah, come to think of it, Thanksgiving is no good if you don't share it.
That's what the Indians did. On the first Thanksgiving, they had a lot of food, and they shared it with the pilgrims.
Well, the Indians have nothing on the water, Commissioner. The little pilgrim will be the guest of Big Chief Running Water.
Yes, sir.
I'll get it. Good evening, Judge.
Evening, Bertie.
Well, Judge, come in.
Hello, Gildy. I didn't want to be late for Thanksgiving dinner, so I thought I'd come and spend the night.
Well, we'd love to have you, Horace. But you told me you had an engagement.
As a matter of fact, I have. So I dropped by to bring a little sweetmeat for your festive board tomorrow.
Oh?
Here you are, Bertie.
Thank you, Judge. What's in this jar?
It's cranberry relish that I prepare myself.
You make cranberry relish, Judge?
Yes, indeed.
I didn't know you so handy around the kitchen.
Well, Bertie, I spend most of my idle hours on culinary experiments. I'm writing a cookbook.
Yover.
I think it's nice the judge is so handy in the kitchen.
Thank you, Bertie.
Yes, sir. The judge is a handy man. He spends his working hours with the law book and his idle hours with the cookbook.
That's about it, Bertie.
Yes, sir. Mr. Gildersleeve, that's why the judge can come up with cranberry relish. He spends his working hours with the law book and his idle hours with the cookbook.
Yeah, I know, Bertie.
Mr. Gildersleeve, you know why the judge can come up with cranberry relish?
Yes,
Bertie. That's right. He spends his working hours with the law book and his idle hours with the cookbook.
Judge. You have quite an admirer in Bertie.
Well, the feeling is mutual, Gildy. I'm sorry I won't be here to sample Bertie's Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, Marjorie and Bronco may not be here either.
but I'm inviting little Mike from the children's home.
Ah, the little fellow who was lost on Halloween.
Yeah, Mike's going to be our guest of honor.
Gilda, you're a shining example of the spirit of Thanksgiving.
Well, that's not all I planned to do. I went over to invite Mrs. Winthrop and Babs, but old Bullard said they were out of town.
Oh, so Rumson is spending Thanksgiving alone?
I didn't ask him, Judge. I don't care where he spent it.
Well, I know Rumson Bullard is difficult at times, but he's a lonely man.
I think he wants to be alone.
I'm not so sure, Gilda. Perhaps we just don't understand him.
I know I don't.
Be that as it may, at a time when the peoples of the world are divided, suspicious, and working at cross purposes, it seems the least we can do is set an example of amity and accord here at home.
Well,
chances are the world could achieve more harmony around the Thanksgiving table than around the conference table.
You're probably right, Judge. I hadn't looked at it that way. Right, George, I'll invite Bullard tomorrow.
That's the first portion of The Great Gildersleeve, November 21st, 1951. Willard Waterman in this Thanksgiving program, starring as Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. Hope you're enjoying this. We'll get back to it in a little bit. But first, these words. All right, we're celebrating Thanksgiving. This Thursday's Thanksgiving, Turkey Day. Gobble, gobble, Lisa.
And we'll be here. We'll be full when we get here. 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock, we will be on the air after we have our turkey dinner.
Yeah, folks, don't miss. If you want to listen to more classic radio, this Thursday, Lisa and I will be here in the studio. You're gonna make Thanksgiving dinner at home?
At my house? No.
Yeah. Is there a hospital near there?
No, I said no was the answer. You weren't listening.
Oh, okay.
Not making Thanksgiving.
What are you doing? Seriously.
I'm going to eat it at someone else's house.
Somebody. Oh, you're going somewhere?
My mother-in-law.
Yeah.
And father-in-law.
I'm going to go by my sister Carlene's house.
Oh, I thought you were just going to stay home alone.
There. No, they're good. She said she'd cook. I'm going over.
We should bring some Thanksgiving treats to share.
Well, like what?
Like, I don't know. If you bring something, I'll bring something.
All right. I'll bring something.
Okay. I will, too.
So, folks, we will be here, Lisa and I, this Thursday, 9 p.m. till 11 p.m. We have two Thanksgiving programs for you. I know one of them is Casey Crime Photographer. And I think maybe the other one might be Jack Benny. I'm not sure. I can't remember right now. But that's what we have for you this Thursday as we celebrate Thanksgiving with you. And then this weekend, when we come back, I think, Lisa, I think we start our Christmas programming.
Let's see. Next week we have, you know what? Thursday is Jack Benny and Casey Crime Photographer.
Yeah.
And then we've got Gunsmoke.
Yeah, right? Gunsmoke, Jack Benny, Escape.
Bing Crosby, right?
Ellery Queen,
and The Whistler.
Yeah, that's next weekend. All right, so. Yep. That's what we have in store for you for this Thursday and then next weekend. But right now, it's time for the conclusion to a Thanksgiving episode of The Great Gildersleeve.
Well, it's nice of you to join us for dinner today, Mike.
It's nice of you to invite me, Mr. Gildersleeve.
You will have a lot of fun. Yeah, I didn't think to ask Mrs. Foster when I should bring you home.
Just take me back when I'm good and full.
Yeah, there's plenty to eat, all right. Bertie has a turkey almost as big as you are.
I don't know if I can eat that much.
Well, I'll help you.
You ought to be a big help.
I wonder how he meant that.
A lot of us kids are going out for dinner today.
Yeah, good.
Boy, I like Thanksgiving. How many times a year does it come?
Well, only once, Mike. But Christmas will be here soon.
Yeah, that's when Santa Claus comes.
Yeah, I'll bet you get a lot of presents.
Yeah, Bobby's even getting a mother and father for Christmas.
You? Who's Bobby?
He's my friend.
Yeah, I see. Well, here we are. Remember this house?
This is where you found me when I got lost.
That's right.
I sure was dopey to get lost.
Well, if you had to get lost, we're glad you picked our house.
Thank you.
Oh, before we go in, Mike, let's go across the street and ask someone else to dinner.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to invite the man who lives in this big house.
He's all alone today.
But that big house, why is he all alone?
Well, Mike, you know how it is.
Do I?
Well, this man's a little difficult to understand. It seems he hasn't many friends.
Why?
Well, sometimes he isn't as nice to people as he could be. But we're going to be nice to him. You see, I feel sorry for Mr. Bullard.
Is that his name?
Yeah, that's his name.
Oh, it's you, Gildersleeve.
Good morning, Mr. Bullard. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Mr. Bullard, I'd like you to meet a little friend of mine, Mike Smith.
How do you do, young man?
Hello, Mr. Bullard.
Little Mike's from the children's home. He's having dinner with us.
Yeah, turkey.
Oh, splendid. I hope you enjoy your dinner, Mike.
Mr. Bullard?
Yes?
I'd like you to join us, if you will.
Me? Well, that's very thoughtful of you.
Well, Mr. Bullard, it's Thanksgiving, and you're all alone.
Yeah, and Mr. Gildersleeve says you don't have very many friends.
Oh?
Well, what I meant was...
For your information, Gildersleeve, I have countless friends. I'm having dinner today at my club.
Yeah, Mr. Bullard, let's not have another misunderstanding. I really wish you'd come with us.
Yeah, Mr. Gildersleeve feels sorry for you.
Oh, is that so? Gildersleeve, I don't want anybody feeling sorry for me. You enjoy your dinner, and I'll enjoy mine. Good day.
Mike, what are you going to do with a fellow like that?
Mrs. Foster would send him to bed without any dinner.
That's not a bad idea.
The great Gildersleeve has caught the Thanksgiving spirit. He invited little Mike from the children's home. He even invited Big Bad Bullard to share his turkey, but Bullard insisted on not coming. Now it looks like there will be several empty places at the table.
Uncle Mort.
Yes, Marjorie?
I'm leaving now. Bronco got tickets for the football game.
Oh?
Uh-huh. He's down getting gas, and I'm going to meet him out front. We're a little late.
Well, sorry you can't be with us for dinner. But before you go, I want you to meet little Mike. Mike! Yo, Mike.
He's in here with me testing the turkey, Mr. Gildersleeve.
You don't spoil his dinner, Bertie.
No, sir.
You better send him in. I want Marjorie to see him.
Who did you want to see me, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Mike, this is my niece, Marjorie.
Hello, Mike.
Hello. What's a niece?
Well, in this case, she's somebody I'm uncle to.
Are you here for dinner, too?
Well, I live here, but I can't be here for dinner. You'll excuse me, won't you?
Well, I don't know.
She and her husband are going to a football game, Mike.
Would you rather see a football game than eat turkey?
No, but our college is playing.
Isn't anybody going to eat Thanksgiving dinner with us?
Well, Leroy will be here. He's over on the hill with his sled.
What about Mr. Bullard, Unky?
He expressed regrets, Bullard style.
He's all alone. We feel sorry for him.
You feel sorry for it.
Okay.
Uh-oh, that's Bronco. Well, Mike, I'm awfully glad you came. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mrs. Marjorie.
Mike, it's just plain Marjorie.
But you've got a husband. That makes you Mrs.
Well, I'll still be Marjorie to you. Goodbye, Anki.
Ta-ta, my dear.
What'll we do now, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Well, it's quite a while until dinner, and I'm out of cigars. Why don't we drop by Mr. Peavy's and then join Leroy for a sled ride?
Okay. Shall we go back and help Bertie taste the turkey before we go?
Well, I guess we could take a little sliver where it won't show. Hello, Peavy.
Mr. Gildersleeve, what can I do for you today?
Yeah, I need some cigars, Peavy. I took a chance on your being open today.
Well, I'm closing in a little while. Your usual brand?
Yeah, that's right. Peavy, aren't you going to say hello to Mike?
Is he here?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't see you down there below the counter. Hello, Mikey.
Hello, Mr. Peavy.
Here, Mike. Let me lift you up on one of these stools.
I can climb up.
He's having Thanksgiving dinner with us, Peavy.
Oh, you don't say. You care to have a soda on the house, Mike? No, I guess it's spoiled your dinner.
He didn't give me a chance to answer.
Yeah, you better save up. We have a big dinner to take care of.
There aren't many people eating with Mr. Gildersleeve and me.
Well, Marjorie and Bronco are going to the game over in Center City, Peavy.
Well, if it was 40 years ago, I'd go out there and sit in the snow myself.
Mr. Gildersleeve, can I whisper something?
You, Al? Excuse us, Peavy.
Very well.
What is it?
Why don't we ask Mr. Peavy over for dinner?
That's a nice thought. I'm sure his dinner's all planned, but why don't you ask him?
Okay. Mr. Peavy?
Oh, am I included now?
Yes. Would you like to come over and help us eat our turkey?
Well, I'll be eating at home, Mike, but thank you just the same.
That's all right. I thought you might be lonesome.
Mike, Mr. Peavy has a wife at home. He doesn't get lonesome.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. Last Thanksgiving, I would have taken you up on the invitation.
Oh?
Just happened that I was alone. We'd planned on having a turkey, but Mrs. Peavy went to visit her mother instead.
Wish she'd visit her mother again this year.
How's that?
So you'd be lonesome enough to eat with us.
Peavy, Mike is bound and determined to fill every place at the table.
Hey, isn't that Mr. Bullard parking the big car out front?
Yes, it is.
He's coming in here.
He's still alone. Why don't we give him another chance to eat with us?
No, Mike.
Maybe he wants to be coaxed. I do sometimes. I even get under the bed and won't come out.
Well, all right. Just for you, Mike, I'll ask him once more.
How do you do, Peavy?
Well, hello, Mr. Bullard.
Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Bullard.
Oh, hello.
What a cold fish.
Go ahead, Mr. Gildersleeve, ask him.
Ask me what?
Mr. Bullard, if you'd care to reconsider, the invitation to dinner is still good.
Thank you, Gildersleeve, but I have plans of my own.
Well, we'd love to have you come to our house.
Gildersleeve, stop nagging at me to come to your house.
All right.
You have your dinner, and I'll have my party at the club. Oh, Peavy, I want 5 pounds of your best after-dinner mints.
My.
5 pounds? You must be having a big party.
Oh, yes, I am. Thanksgiving is a day to gather your friends around you. And although I may not be considered popular by one of my neighbors, I have many friends. Peavy, make that 10 pounds of mint.
10 pounds? I'm glad I opened up today.
Stuffed shirt. Must be inviting his whole club.
How much will that be, Peavy?
Well, it comes to $7, but of course it's a lot of mints.
You must not be having anything for dinner but mints.
Mike?
There you are, Peavy. These mints should be the crowning touch after my friends and I enjoy a hearty meal. We're having vichyssoise, a tossed green salad with anchovies, roast pheasant, golden pheasant.
You like it.
Wild rice, of course, candied yams, and for dessert, flaming plum pudding.
Sounds mighty good.
Mr. Gildersleeve, maybe he'd invite us to his dinner.
Mike, come with me. We have to pick up Leroy.
For picking me up, Unc.
Well, it'll soon be time for turkey.
Boy, did I work up an appetite sliding on the hill.
I'm hungry, too.
Me, too. Three of us will have a fine time.
Isn't Mr. Bullard coming?
No. Bullard's invited a lot of people out to his club for a fancy dinner. Vichyssoise.
Leroy, it was nice of you to take me down on the hill on your sled.
Oh, that's okay. Forget it.
I like you, Leroy.
You do? Why?
I don't know. I guess it's like Mrs. Foster says. She says little boys always want to be like big boys.
Well, I am getting pretty big, I guess.
Mike, someday you'll be as big as Leroy.
I don't know if I'll ever get that big.
You know, Mike, I sort of like you, too.
Thank you. Hey, we're coming close to where I live.
Yeah, that's your home, my boy.
Hey, Unc, stop the car.
Why, Leroy?
Just stop the car.
Well, you all right?
Why are we stopping here? I haven't had dinner yet.
Yes, Leroy, why are we stopping?
Unc, could we get some more little kids like Mike and take them home to dinner?
Leroy, that's a wonderful idea.
Oh, boy. Leroy, can I go in and see who's left?
Sure. Catty, Unc.
You bet. Run on in, Mike, and round up a carful. We'll wait.
Oh, boy, I've been wanting to invite somebody.
Yeah, what a fine little fellow.
Yeah, he's okay.
And Leroy.
Yeah?
There's another fine fellow sitting right next to me.
Oh, heck. Gosh. Gee, Unc, that's the way to have Thanksgiving.
Yes, sir. Invite people to dinner who'll appreciate it. To heck with Bullard. Let him have his big dinner with all his fine friends.
Hey, Mr. Gildersleeve, Leroy.
Yeah, I didn't expect you back so soon, Mike.
Where are all the kids, Mike?
They've all gone out.
They have.
But do you know who's sitting in there with no place to go?
Who?
Mr. Bullard.
Mr. Bullard?
Come on out, Mr. Bullard. They know you're in there.
Well, what do you know?
Imagine that. Hello, Mr. Bullard.
Oh, hello, Gildersleeve, Leroy.
Hi.
Hey, Mr. Bullard. You're the last man I expected to see here.
Oh? Well, I thought I'd come over and take some of the children to dinner. You're not the only one who can entertain friends, and... well, good day. I think I'll take my mints and go home.
You, wait a minute. Mr. Bullard.
Yes?
Yeah, I thought you were going to have a big party at your club.
Well, I intended to, Gildersleeve, but a lot of pushy people like you have taken all the children.
Well, we didn't get our share. There's room for one more.
You mean...
Yeah, how many times do we have to ask you?
Well,
come on, Mr. Bullard. I'll get in the back seat with you.
All right, all right. Thank you, Leroy. Thank you.
Right, George Bullard, this is a fine idea. I'm so glad you're going to be with us.
Thank you, Gildersleeve.
Don't cry, Mr. Bullard. You have more friends than you thought you had.
Yes, sir. There's something about Thanksgiving. This is Gildersleeve again. Thanksgiving is a holiday we Americans cherish. It's a part of our national tradition. And more than that, it shows how our way of life in this country has always been linked so closely with religion. These days, I think we all realize how important it is that we strengthen our faith for ourselves and our children. Take someone to church this week. You'll both be richer for it. Good night.
Gildersleeve is played by Willard Waterman. The show is written by John Elliott and Andy White and is partially transcribed. Included in the cast are Walter Tetley, Mary Lee Robb, Lillian Randolph, Gail Gordon, Tommy Reddick, Earl Ross, and Dick LeGrand. This is John Heaston saying goodnight for the Kraft Foods Company, makers of those famous Kraft quality food products. Be sure to listen in next Wednesday and every Wednesday for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve. Groucho Marx, you bet your life. He's next on NBC.
Did you know that Groucho Marx, his television show You Bet Your Life, was on the radio, too?
I did not listen to it on the radio, but I knew it was on television.
You probably saw it on television, though, where the duck would come down and your secret word is and all that.
Of course.
Yeah, it first started on radio, and then it moved to television. And a little earlier in this Gildersleeve show, they talked about Kraft's Philadelphia brand cream cheese, which I'm pretty sure that was your account, right, Lisa?
It sure was.
At Kraft. Lisa Wolf, before she became the famous Lisa Wolf of WGN Radio, she was an account executive at Kraft. right here.
It was
Jay Walter Thompson.
You've got it. Right? I've got nothing to say.
And your account was Philadelphia brand cream cheese.
It's true.
You're very cheesy.
I know. Yeah. I know. I didn't eat it, but I did.
Yeah, she didn't want to ever eat it.
I did promote the product.
So how long did you do that for?
Well, you know, I was there for a while.
Yeah.
And then I left.
How long is a while?
A while.
Yeah.
And then I left and I was went to a different company and worked on NutraSweet.
Are you avoiding the question?
And worked on NutraSweet. And then I.
NutraSweet.
I did.
Was that still with Jay Walter Thompson?
No, that was at a different PR
firm.
Gosh,
you moved around a lot.
I did.
Or you got fired a lot. One or the other.
One of each.
One of each. All right. Well, we'll have to hear more about that a little later.
Mm-hmm.
But first, a couple of words from our sponsors. This is the WGN Radio Theater. Lisa Wolf, my co-host, and I are here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 o'clock in the morning, unless we're bumped for some sports. But, you know, that doesn't happen that often. It's not that often. So that's our general time slot, 11 till 2 in the morning. But this week we have two more hours on Thanksgiving. We're here from 9 to 11 on the 24th. We're here, right?
I'll be here.
Yeah, me too. You have a little turkey and then come here and then hang with a turkey.
And then we're going to bring some treats.
And then, but Elif, who is from Turkey,
won't
even be here. Where are you going to be?
I'll be in Wisconsin.
I wonder who our producer is going to be. Oh, you're going to be in Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Having some turkey?
Yep.
With
and
family?
And stuffing.
Yeah, sounds good. All right, I don't know who our producer is, but...
I can find out for you and let you know in a few moments.
Oh, wow. You can?
Ooh, she's on it.
Wow.
That's she's pretty, wow.
Gosh. So, very good. We'll know who our producer is, too, Lisa.
Yep, I heard that.
All right, so in this hour, it's Father Knows Best with Robert Young. Good Thanksgiving show. It's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride. Dum, dum,
dum, dum, dum, dum. It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars as an undercover agent sent to Berlin in the thriller The Coldest City.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are the correct caller and you win, you get a certificate for a desktop sports-themed artificial Christmas tree of your choice with white microlights from Tree Time Christmas Creations on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington,
mm-hmm.
or treetime.com. And the winners must pick up the tree from Tree Time in Lake Barrington.
All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actress won the Oscar for Best Actress for the movie Monster.
No, see, I was, I'm sorry, but when I read the ad, it said that you were looking for a secretary.
All right, there you go. You know who that actress is? Call us, 312-981-7200. Win what Lisa said. We'll be right back. All right, so Lisa Wolf, we're back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. And let's play that movie clip again.
No, see, I was, I'm sorry, but when I read the ad, it said that you were looking for a secretary.
And we've got Dan on the line from St. Charles. Hey, Dan.
Hi, guys. How are you tonight?
We're good,
Dan.
Tell us who that beautiful woman is.
Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron is correct. So,
all right,
we have a great prize for you. It's a desktop sports-themed artificial Christmas tree of your choice with white micro lights from Tree Time Christmas Creations on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington, and you get to go pick it up from Tree Time in Lake Barrington. So, congratulations.
Well, thank you. Do you think I can get a Cubs one?
I hope so.
I think they have
that
Cubs
would make
ones.
Good sense now, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I think so.
Exactly, yeah.
We'll put in a good word for you, see what we can do.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Dan.
Take care. Thank you.
You
too.
Appreciate it. All right, it's time for Father Knows Best. Robert Young stars as insurance agent Jim Anderson, who is sort of a daddy extraordinaire. He was like, he knew everything, you know, that's why he knew best.
You know what? Dads are supposed to be
that way.
Father
Knows Best, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is from November 23rd, 1950. It's a Thanksgiving show. Let's tune it in. Part one now of Father Knows Best.
Mother, is Maxwell House the best coffee in the whole world?
Well, your father says so, and your father knows best.
It's Father Knows Best, transcribed in Hollywood, starring Robert Young as Father. A half-hour visit with your neighbors, the Andersons, brought to you by Maxwell House, America's favorite brand of coffee. Look for that familiar blue Maxwell House tin featured in stores everywhere at lower prices, the lowest prices in months. Enjoy coffee that's always good to the last drop. Plenteous cheer, and gather to the feast, and toast the sturdy pilgrim band whose courage never ceased. You know, the pilgrims started the custom of Thanksgiving, but there are others whose trials and tribulations on an average Thanksgiving day bear inspection and a certain amount of sympathy. Take, for example, the Andersons, who live in Springfield in a white frame house on Maple Street. They count their blessings and give their thanks, but with three children in the house, even a simple rite like Thanksgiving can be a pretty complicated affair, like this.
Mother!
We're in the den, Betty.
Is it all right if I borrow your earrings?
Betty! If you have anything to ask your mother, come down here and ask her.
Jumping creepers.
Sounds like she was reared in a barn. Stands up there screaming her head off.
Jim, Kathy is waiting to read her poem.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kathy. Go ahead.
Yes, Daddy.
Go ahead, dear.
Well, now what are you waiting for?
I have to be introduced.
Pardon me. Ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the competition in the fourth grade, Miss Kathleen Anderson. Is that better?
Now you have to applaud.
Okay, we applaud.
Thank you.
What a ham. Has to get her applause before she reads the poem.
Jim.
Doesn't want to take any chances.
All right, dear. Anytime you're ready.
Yes, Mommy. Thanksgiving Day by Kathleen Joy Anderson, fourth grade. Thanksgiving is a lucky day.
Wait a minute. What was that name?
The name?
Your name. Say it again.
Kathleen Joy Anderson.
Where did the joy come from? Your name is Kathleen Louise Anderson.
But I don't like Louise.
You what?
Jim, Kathy and I talked it all over.
My mother's name is Louise, and if it's good enough for my mother, it's good enough for her.
It's only a middle name, dear, and if she doesn't like it...
Why shouldn't she like it? What's wrong with it?
Nothing, Jim, but it's her name.
You're darn right it's her name. She's not going to change it. Now, go ahead.
Mommy?
Go ahead, dear.
Gee whiz.
My grandmother and her mother were named Louise. There's no reason why she should want to change it. Well?
What?
Read the poem.
Yes, Daddy. Thanksgiving Day by Kathleen Louise Anderson.
That's more like it.
Fourth grade.
That's much better.
Jim, please.
All right, Kathy, go ahead.
Thanksgiving is a lucky day for all the girls and boys. It isn't just like Christmas when your parents give you toys. It isn't even like Easter when you get an Easter bunny. Or even like your birthday when your uncle sends you money.
What?
Jim.
When did her uncle ever send her money? Or anything else?
Kathy.
She's 9 years old. He's never sent her a button. Gives her money. He's so tight he can't even sit down.
Jim Anderson, I know you don't like him, but he's been very good to my sister, and if Kathy needs him for her poem...
Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and your brother-in-law. Boy, is that a combination.
Go ahead, Kathleen.
Yes, Mommy. Thanksgiving Day by Kathleen...
Not from the beginning, Kathy. Start where you left off.
I don't remember where I was.
Your uncle was giving you money.
Oh.
That's something we can all remember.
Yes, Daddy.
This isn't a poem, it's a fairy tale.
Jim, if you say one more word...
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kathy.
Is it all right if I start up near Christmas?
Start anywhere you like, but start...
Okay.
Thanksgiving Day by Kathleen. Fourth grade.
Oh, dear.
Thanksgiving is a lucky day for all the girls and boys. It isn't just like Christmas when your parents give you toys. It isn't even like Easter when you get an Easter bunny. Or even like your birthday when your uncle gives you money.
I didn't say a word.
Go ahead, dear.
It isn't like the 4th of July or Decoration Day. Or summer vacation, or Halloween.
Kathy, when are you going to stop telling us what it isn't like and tell us what it is like?
How can she when you keep interrupting?
Well, it's supposed to be a poem about Thanksgiving, isn't it? And what has she said? It isn't like Christmas. It isn't like the 4th of July. Who said it was?
Jim, the poem has already won the contest. We're just supposed to listen.
But as long as...
We're just supposed to listen. Go ahead, dear.
You mean from the beginning?
No. Start after that funny part where your uncle gives you money.
Okay. It isn't like the 4th of July or Decoration Day or summer vacation or Halloween when all the kids can play. No!
Good grief. Oh. Scare a man half out of his wits?
Mother, is it all right if I borrow your earrings?
Look what you've done. Ash is all over the floor.
Well, I'll clean it up, Margaret. Don't worry about it.
What happened?
Nothing happened. I knocked over the ashtray, that's all. Go ahead, Kathy.
Thanksgiving is a different day.
Excuse me, Kathy. I have to speak to Mother.
Let her finish the poem, Betty.
Father, I told Janie Liggett I'd be there early. She's counting on me.
You don't have to read a poem over the radio.
Oh, no. You mean she's going to read that horrible thing in public?
Thanksgiving is a lucky day. I didn't see you winning any free turkey dinner.
I didn't have to. The Liggetts are going to have 3 turkeys.
Wait a minute. The way you kids talk, you'd think we'd never had a turkey in this house.
Jim.
I've got a good mind to keep you all home.
Father. Jim, it isn't a question of turkey. Kathy's principal told you.
Why couldn't they have the dinner some other day?
But Thanksgiving dinner was the prize, dear. For all 8 grades, it's become a major event.
And the Liggetts. If somebody looks cross-eyed, Janie Liggett has a party.
Father, you said...
I know what I said. And it'll be a relief to get you all out of the house. Your mother won't have to spend all day cooking a dinner. You'll wolf down in 20 minutes.
Jim.
We'll have a little peace around here. Even if it is Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is a different day, the day I like the best.
Kathy, I haven't asked about the earrings.
Which earrings, Betty?
The ones with the rhinestones.
Oh, dear, those are much too old for you.
Oh, no, they aren't, Mother. Really, they aren't.
Thanksgiving is a different day.
Just a minute, Kathy. Betty, if your mother says they're too old for you...
But they aren't, Father. I tried them on.
Don't you think something less formal would be more suitable?
But, Mother...
After all, rhinestones in the afternoon...
Not good, huh?
Not good at all.
How about the little pearl ones?
Oh, much better.
May I?
Of course, dear.
Oh, thank you, Mother. You're an angel. Go ahead, Kathy.
Maybe I ought to get the vacuum cleaner. The whole rug's a mess.
Just leave it, Jim. I'll clean it later.
It'll only take me a second.
Jim! All right, Kathy.
No!
Yes, get it over with, please.
Thanksgiving is a different day, the day I like the best. It's even better than Sunday, which is called the Day of Rest. Thanksgiving is my favorite day.
So long, everybody.
Oh, goodbye, dear. Now, have a nice time.
Bud, what are you doing with my suitcase?
What?
Thanksgiving is my favorite day.
Come in here and bring the suitcase.
Gosh, I'm not going to hurt it, Dad.
Did anybody say you could borrow my suitcase?
No, Dad.
Then why are you taking it?
Well, I have to carry them in something.
Carry what?
The football letters. They're going to give them out at the dinner. And the coach said...
Put it back where you got it.
But the coach said I could eat with the team...
I said put it back.
Holy cow.
Thanksgiving is my favorite day.
Jim, he isn't going to hurt anything.
That's not the point. He has no right to take things without asking for them.
But you were busy, Dad. I tried to ask you this morning, remember? I said, Dad, and you said you thought it was going to be wonderful for you and Mom to have Thanksgiving dinner in a restaurant for a change. And I said, Dad, and you said you thought everybody made too much of a fuss about Thanksgiving anyway. And I said, Dad, and you said...
Bud. Hmm? Take the suitcase.
Oh, boy.
And next time, ask for it.
I tried to, Dad. I said...
Bud.
Okay, Dad.
Goodbye now.
Oh, is Billy here, dear?
He's parked out front.
Well, have a good time.
Don't eat too much turkey.
I won't. See you later.
Goodbye, dear.
Goodbye, Betty.
Bye. Thanksgiving is my favorite day.
Just a minute, Dad. Bud, are you driving downtown with Joe Phillips?
Yes, Dad.
Why don't you drop Kathy off at the school?
Okay. Come on, Kathy.
I haven't finished my poem.
Well, why haven't you? I haven't heard anything else for the past hour.
I tried to read it, and first you said that Uncle Richard...
Come on, Kathy, will ya? I'm late.
Nobody ever lets me do anything just because I'm the littlest one in the family.
Kathy, read the poem.
Everybody thinks they can pick on me.
Kathy...
Thanksgiving is my favorite day, dear. That's where you left off.
And they don't have any right to... Thanksgiving is my favorite day, though the skies are gray and murky. 'Cause that's the day when I get to eat the drumstick of a turkey.
Well?
That's the end.
Some poem.
Bud. It's a very lovely poem, Kathy.
Thank you, Mommy.
You mean that won the competition?
Jim.
Well, I'm not surprised. It's very good. A little sentimental, perhaps, but very good.
Thank you, Daddy.
Get your coat, Kathy, and let's go.
Mr. Bryant said he'd bring me home, Mommy.
That's fine, dear.
And don't forget to listen to the broadcast.
We won't, and behave yourself.
Come on, will ya?
Well, stop pulling me. Why do you always have to pull me?
Thanks for the suitcase, Dad.
That's all right. Have a nice time, bud. You too, Kathy.
Bye.
Be a good girl, Kathleen.
I will.
So long.
Goodbye, dear.
All right, that's the first portion of Father Knows Best, November 23rd, 1950, a Thanksgiving show starring Robert Young as the head of the Anderson family there. We'll get back to Father Knows Best and this Thanksgiving show in just a few moments. But first, these words from our sponsor. Oh, yeah, here we go. This will get your blood pumping right here. Bee Gees. Oh, man. Remember when John Travolta danced to this song?
I do.
In the movie?
I sure
Saturday
do.
Saturday Night Fever?
Of course, this is iconic.
Man, he had some...
Think he could still do it?
Yeah, he's a good dancer.
Hey, but you think he could still do it?
Well, this was pretty acrobatic. I mean, there was a lot of going down and, like, doing the splits and, you know, doing... I used to be able to do all that when I was a kid. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I did.
I'm sure you did. I didn't say anything.
I was very serious about my disco dancing back
I know,
then.
I know. And you were a gymnast, so it all worked in your favor.
Baseball player.
What happened?
Ping pong player. Now all I do is play ping pong. I do still
play
baseball.
And listen to classic radio.
Yeah, well, of course. I love classic radio. There's nothing like... You know what the best classic at night? I like to listen to classic radio
Turn
as I'm going to sleep. I put on an escape or a suspense or an inner sanctum.
Pull the covers up.
Detective show. And I'm like out in like... They'd say the opening to the show, you know, Roma Wines.
Does it put you to sleep?
I'm out. Yeah, and then in the morning I have to listen to it because I don't know how it ended. But
yeah, this might
I'm
be
serious.
Just too I'm much visual
out,
for me.
I'm out so fast when I put a classic radio show on. I am out, like, before the first commercial break.
Well, you do that here at the station, too, so I'm kind of used to that.
All right, we're listening to Father Knows Best. Let's get back to it. Here's the conclusion of this Thanksgiving show from November 23rd, 1950.
Well,
I'm completely exhausted. I don't know where to get all that energy.
Margaret, did she really win the competition with that poem?
She's only in the fourth grade, Jim. That's very good for the fourth grade.
When I was 9, I could write poems like that standing on my head.
Well, if you've ever seen Kathy's study, you'd know that that's probably the way she wrote it.
Margaret.
Yes, dear.
Have you noticed how quiet it is?
Yes, dear.
Hasn't been this quiet for weeks, has it?
No, dear.
It does you good to get away from the kids for a while. Gives you a chance to relax, take things easy. Read your paper and things.
Yes, dear.
Get the kids out of the house and it makes all the difference in the world. Get a little peace, a quiet. Don't you?
Yes, dear.
All that excitement and shouting and running up and downstairs, absolutely unnecessary, isn't it?
I suppose so, dear.
Margaret.
Yes, dear.
I'm lonesome.
Yes, dear.
Very good, Barbara. Very good indeed. Now, our next winner is a rugged individualist indeed.
Jim, it's Kathy.
I'll be right in.
She put her thoughts on Thanksgiving into verse and will now read the poem which won for her the competition in the fourth grade. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Kathleen Anderson.
Is it Kathy? Has she started yet?
Jim, be kind.
Well, I just wanted to know.
Thanksgiving Day by Kathleen Joy... Louise Anderson. Fourth grade. Thanksgiving is a lucky day for all the girls and boys. It isn't just like Christmas when your parents give you toys.
Well, why doesn't she go on?
Jim, please.
Go ahead, Kathleen.
It isn't as if she had to remember anything. She's got it right in front of her.
Well, dear, she's probably very nervous.
Well, she can read, can't she?
Kathleen, we're waiting.
I want to go home.
Hey, God, now what's gotten into her?
Oh, the poor little thing.
Miss Anderson just remembered a previous engagement. But perhaps we'll have better luck with our next little guest. The winner of the competition in the fifth grade...
You see, Margaret, I told you she shouldn't have gone.
Oh, my poor baby.
I've never heard anything like that in my entire life.
She was frightened, Jim, that's all.
Frightened of what? You can't shut her up when she's in the house. As soon as she's supposed to talk, she makes a noise to sound like Georgie Jessel. I tell you... Margaret.
Yes, Jim.
Do you think we ought to go down and get her?
Oh, I don't think so.
Poor kid's probably crying her heart out.
She'll get over it. And don't forget, they promised her 2 drumsticks.
I don't know. She didn't sound very hungry.
Do I?
What?
You promised me a Thanksgiving dinner at the townhouse, you remember?
Yes, I did, didn't I?
I'll get my hat and coat, or would you rather have me sue you for breach of promise?
Margaret.
Jim, there isn't anything wrong, is there?
Oh, no, honey. Everything's fine. It's just that... Well...
Yes?
I've been doing a lot of thinking, and, would you mind very much if we didn't go out?
Why, Jim...
I know I promised you dinner, but... Well, I'd just rather eat here.
There isn't anything to eat.
Sure there is. I saw a whole heap of hamburger in the icebox.
A hamburger on Thanksgiving Day?
Well, Margaret, to tell you the truth, this, doesn't seem much like Thanksgiving. Not like the kind of Thanksgiving we used to know.
Well, it's finally happened. After only 18 years, you're tired of me.
You know what I mean, don't you, honey?
I think so.
Thanksgiving has always been a special sort of a day for me. Even when I was a boy. It was more than just a holiday. It was a time when the whole family got together and had fun. We used to go out into the country to my grandmother's.
We did, too. Go to my grandmother's, I mean.
The whole family used to be there. My Uncle Rob and his wife and their 8 children, and my Uncle Will and his wife and their 10 children.
That must have been cozy.
Oh, it was. We ate in shifts. My grandmother always swore she was feeding half of the neighbor's kids. but it was fun.
Did you play games after dinner?
Heck no. We were so stuffed we couldn't move.
Oh, you were a bunch of sissies. We used to play Going to Jerusalem or Musical Chairs or Charades.
That's pretty hard to do with just two people, isn't it?
Jim, there's one thing we mustn't forget. This is a new generation. It's a different sort of generation with new ideas and a new sense of values. Times have changed.
I guess they have. Let's go into the kitchen and see what we can throw together.
You're an old sentimentalist, Jim Anderson. That's what you are. And I love you.
I love you, too. You know, maybe if the kids get home early, we can all go to a movie or something. How'd you like that?
Oh, I wouldn't count on it, dear. Betty said not to expect her before midnight, and Bud's dinner won't start until 6.
Well, Kathy isn't going to stay out all night, is she?
Well, no.
Okay, then we'll take Kathy to the movies.
Well, we'll see, dear. It all depends on Bud.
Hiya, Mom. Hi, Dad.
What are you doing here?
Fixing a hamburger. Want one?
Well, what happened to the dinner?
What dinner?
At the training table with the football team.
Oh, that dinner.
Well?
I don't know. I guess I just wasn't hungry.
Weren't hungry? You?
I'm going to call Dr. Simmons.
Wait a minute, Margaret. Bud, if you aren't hungry, why the hamburger?
The hamburger?
Pardon me, the three hamburgers.
Oh, well, I guess I got hungry.
Oh, Bud, if you don't feel well, please tell us.
But I do feel well, Mom. I feel fine.
Look, Bud, if you don't want to tell us the truth...
But I am telling you the truth. I didn't like the dinner, that's all. Bunch of big goofs sitting around talking about football. What good is that?
Gwen, don't you like to talk about football?
Just a second, honey. Kathy?
It's me, Father.
What's she doing home?
What on earth is...
We're in the kitchen, Betty.
I'll be right in.
Oh, dear, just when everything was going so well.
Margaret, why do you immediately assume that something is wrong? Maybe the Liggetts decided not to have a party. Or maybe Betty had the wrong day. Lots of things could have happened.
The party was today. I know it was.
Well, maybe it hasn't started yet.
What's everybody doing in the kitchen? Well, hi, Bud. What are you doing here?
Oh, nothing much. Want a hamburger?
Okay.
Never mind the hamburgers, Bud. We've got things to discuss that are much more important.
Than hamburgers?
Do you feel all right, dear?
Sure. Why?
You told your mother you wouldn't be home until midnight.
Oh, well, I wasn't going to, but I came up with the most awful headache.
Jim.
You just said you felt fine.
I do. Oh, I mean, I do, except for this headache.
Jim, I'm going to call Mrs. Liggett and ask her...
Mother, you know if there was anything wrong, I'd tell you. I always have, haven't I?
Yes, dear, you have, but...
Just a minute, Margaret. Kathy?
Yes, Daddy?
We're in the kitchen. Come on in.
Yes, Daddy.
See, Margaret, I told you we should have gone down for her.
Well, I had no way of knowing.
What's the matter with Kathy?
Your sister reads the first line of her poem and bursts into tears.
No kidding.
The poor little thing. Hello.
Oh, Angel.
Hello, sweetheart. Come on over here and tell your daddy all your troubles.
I don't have any troubles, Daddy. I'm just not happy.
Well, it isn't anything to cry about, is it?
It was a lovely poem, darling, even if you didn't read it.
And don't you worry, Knothead. If anybody makes fun of you, I'll poke them right in the nose.
Oh, Bud.
I don't care if they do make fun of me. I didn't want to read my poem, not to them.
Why, Kathy, they're your friends.
I don't want them. It's Thanksgiving, and I wanted my mommy and my daddy and my sister and my brother. I was lonesome.
Kathy, darling.
She's all right, Margaret. Just leave her alone.
Mother.
Yes, Betty.
I was lonesome, too.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
Oh, Jim.
Margaret, not you.
Yes, me too.
Good grief. You sound like the third act of Uncle Tom's Cabin. What's the the matter with you, bud?
Nothing. I just feel like blowing my nose. That's all.
Well, blow it. Now, get busy with the hamburgers.
Okay, Dad.
How about a little food for the hungry Andersons?
Well, I'm starving. Hamburgers. It's a fine thing to serve for a Thanksgiving dinner, isn't it?
It sounds fine to me.
I don't care what part of the hamburger I get. As long as it's the drumstick.
That a girl, Kathy. Well, what are we waiting for? Let's sit down and be comfortable.
Well, I'll take over, Bud.
I'm doing fine, Mom.
Oh, Bud, really?
Don't argue with the chef, Margaret. Just sit down and relax.
Well, if you insist.
Four hamburgers coming up.
Well, that'll take care of me, but what are they gonna eat?
Betty.
Oh, you big pig.
Margaret, kids, before we dig into these juicy Thanksgiving burgers, may I say something?
Sure, oh, yes,
daughter.
This has been, I think, the happiest Thanksgiving day of my entire life. And if you don't mind, I'd like to say a special grace. O Lord, we give thee thanks from the bottom of our humble hearts for the blessings thou hast seen fit to bestow upon us. We thank thee for the food that graces our table and the roof that covers our head. We thank thee for the privilege of living as free men in a country which respects our freedom, our personal rights to worship and think and speak as we choose. But most of all, dear Lord, we thank thee for making us a family, for giving us sincerity and understanding. We thank thee for giving us the most cherished gift a family may know, the gift of love for one another. Amen.
It's morning now, and in the Anderson Breakfast Nook, life has eased back into its accustomed groove. Thanksgiving Day is over, but the Andersons, well, they go on forever, like this.
Why can't I wear lipstick? Claudia McHugh does, and she's only 12.
Here's your coffee, dear.
Thank you.
Well?
Well, what?
Well, why can't I?
Because I said you couldn't. And eat your breakfast.
Gee whiz.
Oh, Margaret, we've got to do something about that boy. He's beginning to shake the house.
I'll speak to him, dear.
If he can't take it easy on the stairs, don't feed him so much. One of these days, he's going to go right through.
Hiya, Dad. Good morning, Hi. Mom.
Sit down and eat your breakfast.
Good morning, dear.
He didn't say anything to me.
Hiya, Squirt.
Good morning. Mother, do you know what Bud did? He used my good cologne on his hair.
Good morning, Betty.
I used 2 drops.
You used practically the whole bottle.
I did not.
Good morning, Betty.
Mother, if I can't have a little privacy with my own things.
Betty.
What?
Good morning.
Good morning, Father.
That's better. Sit down, eat your breakfast.
Jumping creepers.
You know, Margaret, there's one thing I'm really going to enjoy about our Thanksgiving Day dinner yesterday.
What's that, dear?
We're probably the only family in Springfield that won't be eating leftover turkey for the next month.
Yes, dear.
What are we going to have for dinner tonight?
Leftover hamburgers.
Everywhere are featuring lower prices on Maxwell House coffee, the lowest prices in months. Bring home one of those familiar blue tins tomorrow and enjoy coffee that's always good to the last drop. Join us again next week when we'll be back with Father Knows Best, starring Robert Young as Jim Anderson, with Roy Bargy and the Maxwell House Orchestra, and yours truly, Bill Foreman. So until next Thursday, good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House. Father Knows Best was transcribed in Hollywood and written by Ed James. Now stay tuned in for Dragnet, which follows immediately over most of these stations.
Exciting Dragnet is next, then We the People on NBC.
That's Father Knows Best radio episode, primarily remembered as a television show for sure, but it did have a very successful run on television. November 23rd, 1950, that's a Thanksgiving program starring Robert Young as Father Jim Anderson on Father Knows Best. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Well, Lisa, that's going to be a wrap here for this edition of the WGN Radio Theater Program 132. And that means, hey, it's Dan. And that means that we'll be here this Thursday. Don't miss that, folks. We'll be here Thursday. When you're having turkey, tune in to WGN and listen to two more turkeys.
Hey-o!
Yeah.
After the turkey. We won't be on till 9 o'clock.
Yeah. Well, some people are still eating at 9. They're usually going after fourth or fifths by then.
The trip to Finn will be kicking
in. I was going
to
say it's nap time. It's perfect time for us.
Jim Toronto is here. He's going to be he's going to be with you all the way till what, 5 o'clock in the morning?
Yes. I always like to do this shift when you guys are on because I get to do my Jack Benny, you see. And it's nice to see Carl and Lisa, you see. But, yeah, I was listening to The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
I have this nickname, Elton Jim. I'm thinking of changing it now for the new year to The Great Gildersleeve.
Oh, yeah, Gildy's great.
I think you should.
Oh, yes.
You know, years ago, and I've told this story on the air, years ago, I was at a convention for classic radio, and a lot of times they
So you and what, them. The other two people were there?
Yeah. No, there was
that's called a dinner party. Yeah, that's not a convention. Yeah.
I think this was in Cincinnati. I went to a lot of these. And Willard Waterman was there, the guy who played the Great Gildersleeve. And
the original with the mustache?
Well, there was two guys right. that did it. The first guy was Hal Perry, and then later in 1950, Willard Waterman took over, and he carried it into television.
Right, so he was the bigger guy with the dark mustache.
Yeah, and so I got to play Leroy in a reenactment with him.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah, along with a bunch of other people, and there was a couple of other people from the cast, like Shirley Mitchell. Was in the cast.
Were you the adequate Gildersleeve?
I was. No, I played Leroy. I was.
But you weren't the great Gildersleeve.
No, I
was just.
Adequate. I was just.
You were adequate.
So Gildersleeve. Yeah. Right. Lisa Wolf, if you were there, Lisa, you would have probably played. You know.
I would have been the other person there. There are two people.
You would have been the
I
heavy.
Would have been one of the
she
two.
Would have been the heavy.
The heavy.
In her deep voice.
In the Gildersleeve.
Yeah, she would have been the
world.
Heavy.
There's a heavy in the Gildersleeve world.
So what's on the show this morning, Jim?
Well, I'm going to be, I always enjoy this time because, you know, there is a captive audience, and I do like to, so I've got a few different things. Walking into the studio here, I see that they have,
made it beautiful.
They've decorated it, yeah. And that's my dilemma, which I want to sort of throw out there. I have wanted Christmas since March. Mm. I have been wanting to decorate since March.
And so, here it is.
Well, so here's my question. You know, it's always, you know, the day after Thanksgiving is okay. I can't wait. I've started I did our stairs we have like dolls that we go up the stairs. A doll on each stair. So I've got 20 bins of Christmas stuff.
Whoa.
So it's usually a 7-hour deal, you know, for 2 days.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I really just want to get started. I don't want to use Thanksgiving as a speed bump. Got a little display on the dining room table for that.
Do you have a giant tree?
Three trees, thank you.
Three trees.
Yeah, I'm into this. I love Santa.
Wow.
The house is always red and white. But so the question is it now? Is it too early?
There's no such thing as too
early. Well,
that's
what
you
I'm
know
wondering.
What? You beat to your own drummer, which you do anyway.
Well, that's because from the outside you can't tell.
It doesn't matter.
I don't
want
to. I don't want to scare the neighbors.
With
the giant.
Scared
well,
of
yeah.
You.
Well, even if I ever come outside, they're afraid. There's that guy.
Oh,
we
yeah.
heard he lives there.
We
never got that.
Way.
I never got that excited about Santa coming to the house because all I ever got was coal.
You know what? I actually got coal one year.
Did you?
We had. You know, I don't
You're
know which
a bad
uncle,
boy.
I don't know which uncle it was, but you know, somebody was dressed up. You know, I don't want to ruin the mystery, but. At least at our house, there was a guy dressed up as Santa.
Well, because Santa can't make it to everybody's house.
Right, exactly. He has surrogates.
Yes, he can.
Well, he's very busy on Christmas Eve. He can't make a personal appearance and talk with you. He's busy.
Well, let's just say he can.
Thing.
Okay, I don't want to burst any
bubbles
here.
Thing.